Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom.
This is our TOEIC unit. We're going to practice some TOEIC vocabulary. We're talking about business today, work exchange program presentation. How many of you have had to give presentations out there? Raise your hands. Oh, yeah. I see you, Tom.
Yep.
I have. Yeah, it can be kind of stressful. We're going to talk about making a presentation. Of course, the topic or subject of this is work exchange program. I know that's pretty popular these days. I have a couple of friends here in Taiwan that have gone to Australia to participate in work exchange programs.
Yeah, that seems to be the most common destination, huh?
It's a great country to go to. Actually, we are going to be talking about Australia in today's program.
Hey, Australia is a great place. I think they were rated number one in terms of happiness.
Cool.
They're the happiest people in the world, along with the Norwegians and the Swedes. How come we're so sad here? Well, find out by going to Australia, and you'll know what it means to be happy. But, let's talk about a work exchange program. Sheila is giving a presentation today, and Tom has some questions for her after her presentation. So let's listen now to her presentation and Tom's questions. Dialogue 1. The presentation.
Hello, I'm Sheila from Opportunities Down Under. We're the largest recruiter for work exchange programs in Australia. Our mission is to help give people the experience of a lifetime. I'd like to start by showing you some of the beautiful farms in Australia. We'll get you a job on one of these farms. In return for working between 4 and 6 hours a day, you'll get free food and accommodation. While in Australia, you'll learn plenty of valuable skills. Furthermore, you'll discover the country and its culture. Thank you for your attention. Please come and talk to me if you have any questions.
Dialogue 2. After the presentation. Hi, Sheila. My name's Tom. That was a great presentation.
Thanks, Tom. Are you interested in joining the program?
You made the idea sound very appealing. I'd like to ask you a few questions first, though.
Fire away. What would you like to know?
First of all, how long does a program last?
The length is variable. Some only last for a month. Others go on for as long as 6 months. It really depends on how long you want to spend in the program.
Would I be able to take time off to explore the country?
That depends on your host. But it's better to do your sightseeing before and after your time on the farm. You're there to work, and you'll probably be there during harvest time.
Okay, so let's talk about the contents of today's lesson for today. As we said, the first part is the presentation from Sheila, who is a part of Opportunities Down Under. And then in the second part, Tom is asking her some questions after she gave the presentation. So here's what Sheila says, or at least it's about work exchange programs. Work exchange just means that one person is going from one place to another, and then someone from that place is coming back. It's kind of an exchange or trade. When I was learning Chinese, of course, I wanted to do language exchange. I'll help you with your English, and you help me with my Chinese. That is a very common arrangement these days, language exchange. But this is work exchange, and she's giving a presentation.
So one person's going to work, and in exchange for that, the other person is going to be given food and accommodation. So it's kind of a nice exchange. Presentation is something you do when you typically talk about something that you're presenting to others, that you're letting others know about. You can use slides. For example, if you use the software program PowerPoint, you can project slides, have them on a computer so people can see some of the dates. Maybe use charts and graphs and bullet points. Or it might just be you standing in front of a group of people talking about something that can also be a presentation.
Presentation, right. And here's Sheila giving her presentation. She begins by saying, "Hello, I'm Sheila from Opportunities Down Under." So she introduces herself first. That's a good way to begin your presentation. And this is her company or her organization. She is from Opportunities Down Under. And Down Under is the term to refer to countries that are in the southern hemisphere, especially Australia and New Zealand, probably exclusively Australia and New Zealand. Down Under. I come from a land down under.
Yeah, I would say as far as Down Under goes, it's only Australia or New Zealand. They don't refer to other countries. We're the largest recruiter for work exchange programs in Australia. If you're a recruiter, you're somebody who is trying to entice or persuade people to come and work for you. I know there are different recruiters here in Taiwan who call up occasionally and they want to know if you're happy in your present position or if they could tempt you to leave your company and go work for another company. That's their job, is to try to entice or persuade people to leave one type of work for another. They're there to get kids or adults who are interested in going to Australia, maybe to learn some English or some to see the world, perhaps. That's their method to go. They don't have a lot of money just to go on vacation, so these work exchange programs are a good way to see the world.
Mm-hmm. Get out there and travel, but yeah, you need to do some work as well. And she says, our mission or our goal, the goal of our company, is to help give people the experience of a lifetime. Of course, your lifetime is the time you're alive. And I'd like to start, she says, by showing you some of the beautiful farms in Australia. So this is how she's going to begin her presentation, or at least to begin the content of her presentation after she introduces herself. I'd like to start this presentation by showing you this. So that's a pattern here. I'd like to do something by doing something else. I'd like to start my meal by having an appetizer, I could say, for example.
Well, she's going to start by showing the people there listening some beautiful farms in Australia where they might be going to work. We'll get you, she says, a job on one of these farms. So in return for working between 4 and 6 hours a day, this is what they'll receive. They'll get free food and accommodation. So if you see this pattern here, in return for, following that phrase is what you need to give. And then after the comma, you'll see what you get. Remember, an exchange is when you give something in return for something else. So you'll have to work between 4 and 6 hours a day. Maybe you work 5 hours a day. Maybe you only have to work 4 hours a day, maybe six. But in exchange for that, you'll get free food. They'll feed you. You won't be hungry. And accommodation refers to a place to stay and sleep.
And take a shower, brush your teeth,
sure.
Stuff like that. So that's all a part of accommodation. When you travel, you do need to consider accommodation. You can't just sleep on a park bench.
I have to mention, too, Tom, that in the States, typically we'll say accommodations. We'll put an S on that word. Even for one person, they'll get food and accommodations.
Okay, you hear it both ways.
Uh-huh.
And while in Australia, you'll learn plenty of valuable skills. Australia, of course, is a huge country. In fact, it's a whole continent. There are lots of things to see and do there, and you can learn all sorts of stuff. You get some valuable skills, things that you might be able to put on your resume and use in a future job. Furthermore, you could also say, in addition to that, so I have something else to add to that, you'll discover the country and its culture. So yes, indeed, you can visit the big cities in Australia, Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney, etc., and then you can head out into the outback and see some kangaroos or see that big rock. I can't remember what it's called. And then the culture, of course, is Australia. It's very diverse. There are all sorts of immigrants there, plus the Aborigines. So yes, indeed, it's a great place to check things out.
One of the phrases that we use when we give a presentation to end it would be to thank people for coming. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for coming today. And then Sheila also ends with the invitation to come and ask her questions if they have some that they're not sure about. So One of the people who comes to Sheila is Tom. Tom asks Sheila about the program. First of all, though, he gives her a compliment. He says, oh, that was a great presentation. That's a wonderful way to begin after a presentation. Someone wants to know if they've done a good job. They want to feel good about it, so it's a nice way to introduce yourself and then give them a compliment.
Yep, so yeah, it was a great presentation. And then Sheila says, well, thanks, Tom. Thank you for your compliment. Are you interested in joining the program? She could also say, are you interested in participating in the program? And Tom says, well, you made the idea sound very appealing. Something's appealing when it appeals to you. And when something appeals to you, it's attractive. It's interesting. It's something you want to know more about. Someone offered me the chance to go to, say, the Philippines for the weekend. I said, well, it's not very appealing. It's kind of far away. And, you know, by the time we get there, we'll have to come back. So if I wanted to spend more time in the Philippines, yeah, it would be more appealing. But just for a weekend, that's too short. So it isn't very appealing.
He also says he wants to ask a few questions first, though. Sheila responds with a phrase that might seem strange to our listeners, fire away. What does fire have to do with this at all? Well, to fire a weapon like a gun means to shoot it. So if you say fire away, it just means start by asking, go ahead, fire away. Shoot. My dad will also say that instead of fire away. He'll just say shoot, which means go ahead and ask. So if someone uses either of those, you'll know that they're giving you the go ahead to go ahead and ask your questions. That's your invitation, I guess. Fire away. Go ahead and ask your questions.
Yeah, that reminds me of an old Pat Benatar song. Hit me with your best shot. Fire away. Check it out. But in any case, yes, go ahead. Ask me those questions. Shoot. Fire away.
Uh-huh.
What would you like to know? And Tom says, well, first of all, my first question of many, how long does a program last? How long is the program going to be? Is it going to be 1 month,
sure,
6 months, 2 years? How long does it last?
Well, her response is, well, the length is variable. Variable is an adjective. The verb form is vary. It varies in length. It varies in size. So here she's just saying it's variable, the length is at least. So there's no fixed pattern, there's no fixed length. It can change. It depends on the program or the farm that's hiring people, perhaps. Maybe they just need you for a month. Maybe they need help for 6 months. So the length is variable, it can change. For some who sign up for the program, it will only last a month. Others can go on for as long as 6 months. So, sounds like you have options or choices. She says it really depends on how long you want to spend in the program. Some people have a lot of free time on their hands. Others don't. So, I guess it's kind of a nice option that you get to pick how long you want to be gone.
Sure. So, yeah, if you don't have a lot of time on your hands, pick the 1 month program. If you've got time to kill, then pick the six-month program.
Good.
And she says, yeah, it depends on how long you want to spend in the program. Here's another question from Tom. He asks, would I be able to take time off to explore the country? If you take time off, that means you take time out of your job, you stop working, and you go do something else. You might need to take some time off to go see the doctor or something like that. Or you could say you're going to see the doctor, but instead you're actually looking for another job or you get another job interview. Sometimes people do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, how else can you find another job if you don't do that? Of course, I can't say I'm encouraging you to do that. Otherwise,
no.
I'd get in big trouble or someone would come and cut my throat. But in any case here, yes, can he take some time off? And, yeah, he's in Australia. He wants to explore the country. Yeah, go check out the Gold Coast. Go do some scuba diving. Head over to Perth there and help people look for that missing flight, etc. Explore the country. Have some fun. Check it out. Learn some things.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that really what they're over there for? It's not to work on a farm, that's for sure. But you have to be respectful of the host that is paying for your food and accommodations. You know, and that's what Sheila says. It depends on your host. It's up to them. But it's better to do your sightseeing before or after your time on the farm. That's a good piece of advice. If you go sightseeing, of course, you travel around an area and you look at attractions that are pretty popular, especially among tourists. For example, if I go sightseeing in a new country, I usually check out a sightseeing book first, or I talk to my friends to see what's interesting in that particular area or country. She also tells Tom he's there to work. That's his primary reason, of course, for being given food and accommodations. But that's not why he's there, of course. He wants to see the country and maybe pick up some English and learn more about the customs and culture there. She says you'll probably be there on the farms, she means, during harvest time. What's harvest time, Tom? Didn't you grow up in an area where there were farms?
Yep, harvest time where I'm from in Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, that part of the country, is generally in September, October, November. They basically take all the corn in from the fields and get ready for winter. So that's a harvest time. And, yeah, you need to take that into mind, especially because they're in the southern hemisphere, so their harvest time will be at a different time of the year.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I don't know when it would be. I would guess during the spring. Our spring would be when their harvest time is. So keep that in mind. And I guess I did want to ask you this question, Stephanie.
Uh-huh.
If you were to go to Australia, what kind of sightseeing would you do there?
I would go to Sydney first to see the Sydney Opera House, yeah.
Okay.
I've always wanted to see that, see an opera there.
Well, I would go anywhere as long as I could hang out with the Aussies. I hear they're pretty laid-back, cool people. I'd like to sit down with them, have a chat, do some, enjoy some food and do some drinking and stuff like
that.
It would be a darn good time. But in any case, yeah, if you go to Australia, remember, you are there to work. And that brings us to the end of our discussion. And just in case you didn't understand something, the Chinese teacher would like to give you a few pointers right now.
大家好, 我是Tommy. 首先, 我们来看到标题, Work Exchange Program Presentation. Work Exchange Program 就是所谓的打工换宿计划, 其实跟这几年很流行的打工旅游非常相似。 打工旅游就是 Working holiday, 去打工旅游就是 go on a working holiday. 例如, I would like to go on a working holiday to Australia after I graduate from college. 我大学毕业后打算去澳洲打工旅游。接下来, 我们看到 presentation这个字, presentation是名词, 有报告、发表的意思。 我们常说的上台报告或做简报就是 give a presentation, 而 give a presentation on something 指的是针对某个主题做简报。例如 give a presentation on global warming 指的就是针对全球暖化做简报。此外 presentation 的动词为 present, P-R-E-S-E-N-T, 赠予的意思。 要赠予某物给某人, 我们可以说 present somebody with something, 或者是 present something to somebody. 例如, the host presented us with a gift, 也可以等于 the host presented a gift to us, 意思是 主人送了一个礼物给我们。 present 这个字还可以当名词和形容词。当名词时念作 present 是礼物现在的意思。片语 at present 就是目前的意思。例如 My father is busy at present and cannot answer your call. 我爸爸目前很忙，无法接你的电话。当形容词时，也念作 present， 意思是在场的、目前的。例如 ，Don't speak ill of me when I'm not present. 不要在我不在场的时候说我坏话。接着，我们看到对话一，在对话一里面 希拉介绍澳洲打工换宿计划的内容，包括有可能每天在农场上工作4到6小时，以得到免费的食宿，可以学到实用的技能等等。其中，希拉说 ：“We are the largest recruiter for work exchange programs in Australia。我们是澳洲最大的打工换宿计划招募商。Recruiter 是招募者，在本课指的是招募商。”动词为 recruit, R-E-C-R-U-I-T, 无论是军队招募新兵，或是组织、公司等等招募新成员，都可以用 recruit 这个字。例如 ,The charity recruited more volunteers to rebuild the earthquake-stricken town. 这个慈善组织招募更多的义工来重建这个被地震侵袭的小镇。此外 ,recruit 这个字也可当名词用，意思是新兵、新成员。举例来说 ,The manager is responsible for training new recruits. 这名经理负责训练新成员。在对话二里 ,Tom 向 Sheila 询问更进一步的资讯。Ask for further information, 像是计划的期限是多久，可不可以请假去观光等等。我们看到 Tom 问说 ,Would I be able to take time off to explore the country? 我能请假去游访澳洲吗？ Be able to 加原形动词是能够做什么什么的意思，相当于 be capable of。但 be capable of 后接名词或 ving, 而不是 to 加原形动词。Take time off 就是请假的意思。若要说明请多久的假，可在 take 和 off 中间加上一段时间。例如 ,My colleague will take a week off to move house. 我的同事因为要搬家会请一个礼拜的假。如果要表示因为某事而请假，可以说 take 一段时间 off for something。例如 ，I will take 5 days off for sick leave。我将会请5天的病假。
Okay, to enhance your understanding of today's lesson, we've got some extra dialogues.And these, again, are questions someone is asking about this work program down under, this work exchange program. So, yeah, I will be A in these conversations, okay, Stephanie, as if I were Tom in the dialogues above.
Okay.
So, here's a question. Can you give me an example of the work I'd be doing? What kind of work would I be doing? Give me a sample or example.
This is a really important question because you want to know what...you'll be doing. So here's an example response. I'm a recruiter, of course. I would say you might be digging ditches to bring water to the crops or helping to build a school. Now, a ditch is a long, narrow channel that we dig into the ground and water will flow through it. We often use these on farms, especially. So you might be doing that. That sounds kind of hard.You would use an instrument called a shovel that has a wooden stick that you hold on to. And at the end is a metal, piece of metal that's, that holds the dirt. That's tough work. Or you might be actually helping to build a school. I don't know how to build anything, so they'd have to teach me first.
Well, basically, you just hammer in nails. It might be pretty easy as long as they tell you what to do. And yeah, if you're using a shovel, you probably need to wear gloves, or you might get blisters on your fingers.
What's a blister?
It's a shui pao in Chinese.
Oh.
I think it's easier to explain it that way.
Those hurt. You need gloves, definitely.
Indeed. So watch out for those blisters. Now, here's another question.
Uh-huh.
Will I be staying somewhere with internet access? That's important. I want to go online. I want to check my line messages, my Facebook posts. Yeah, I need internet access.
Well, here's a recruiter's response. That depends on the kind of farm you want to work on. You might not even have electricity. Oh, wow.
Ooh. Boy, that's really getting back to basics.
Yeah, no electricity, can you imagine? So if you don't have any electricity, of course you're not going to have the internet. You're not also going to have access to a charger for a computer. That would be a tough life because I think we're all sort of connected to our smartphones, our computers, the internet. So you better think twice. That means you better really think hard about whether you want to go to some of these farms. I think the best advice I could give for work exchange programs is find out as much information before you go as possible so you're not disappointed.
Indeed, but this doesn't sound so bad. Just have a campfire with your other coworkers, look at the stars at night, and tell each other stories. It's probably a lot more fun than checking those dumb line messages. Now, here's another question. Can you give me some references for your program?
Sometimes you want to hear from others who have been in the program before, and you want to hear if they liked it, if they would recommend it. If you recommend something, it's a reference. So here's the recruiter. She says, sure, here's a list of bloggers who have written about their experiences. A blogger, of course, refers to somebody who writes on a website. So it's someone who has listed or written out their experiences on a website that you can refer to. So I would definitely check those out. But if you know someone personally, that's probably safer. I don't always believe some of the things I read on the web.
Indeed. So you still need to check those references or you might end up being abducted. They'll take your passport away from you and you'll work in some clothing factory for 20 years or something like that. So be prepared.
Here's a discussion question, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's take a look at it. If you could pick one country in the world to work in, Tom, which country would it be and why?
That's a good question. Of course, I've never been to Europe, so Europe would probably be one of my top priorities. England, maybe France, Germany, Spain, someplace like that. But I don't really know one specific country. How about you, Stephanie? What's a country would you go to work in, like maybe doing farm work or something like that?
No, this is a really easy one for me. My favorite country is Switzerland. It's like heaven on earth. I would go there and I'd want to work in a chocolate factory.
No, you wouldn't. You'd get fat pretty fast.
They make the best chocolate in the world in Switzerland. Yeah, yes.
Okay, well, just make sure you eat the totally dark chocolate so you don't put on so many pounds. But in any case, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. And we'll come back next time, so please join us then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.